another new take on an oldie but goodie from season 2. That was Red Hot. Thank you, Coach Cuse, for your surgeon work there. Coming up tonight on Zero Doinks, we're going to talk about the Bears back in the win column. That was Red Hot. We were there. We were both on site, as was Rick Fieldsman, as was Coach Cuse. We will have tales from the Zero Doinks tailgate, plus much, much more. Matt Nagy, you want to shut up for a minute? JF1 is our Lord. Bow to him and shut your mouth. Bill Lazor's our Lord, too. Anywho, lots to get into on tonight's Zendikes.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero Doinks. Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zendikes. Oh, man. Feels good after a win. JF1, he hath risen. He did on Sunday, and we were there to see it, weren't we, Dan? Thank you for inviting me, bud. How are you tonight?
Amazing. That was awesome. All of it. Tailgating, being there with you while JF1 wins his first game as a starter. He is risen. And you can raise me up. I'm Justin's dong. Yep, excited. Excited to do this tonight. William.
All right, well, let's get into it, buddy. Let's jump in the next segment. Zero Doinks. Bears win.
Barrels.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero Doinks. Oh, man. The Bears are back to 500. All is right with the world. Soldier Field was popping, and we can say that personally because we were there, Dan. It's Monday night. Are you recovered? How many beers did we have? Let's talk all about it. Go.
I felt rough today. I'll just be honest with you. Not a young man anymore. Starting around... time did we start? I think on the ride down, you and I had a conversation about starting off slow, maybe with a water. We both opened a water. I think we took one sip and looked at each other and said, yeah, we're ready. Let's get going. So I think we cracked our first beers about 8:45, let's say, probably before that. And then it was just all day. It just didn't stop. For me personally, I probably stopped drinking around 7 p.m. so that was a full day. I felt very rough today, but I've bounced back. I think I'm okay now. So how about you, buddy? The experience was great being with you. That made the win oh so much better.
It was so red hot. Yeah, we hosted a tailgate. We had special guests left and right that popped on by. There was one Rick Fieldsman. There was ice cream. There was Coach Cuse. There was one of his sons. There were people that I had just met from your neighborhood. Things were absolutely incredible. I loved every minute of it. Yeah, I think 8:45, I think, is giving us too much credit from an alcoholic standpoint. I think it was probably closer to 8:19 would be my guess.
Okay, all right. That's fair. I maybe stretch the truth a little bit in case Jordan Doinks is listening. Oh, Jordan Doinks also made an appearance.
Indeed.
She was our ride back, so shout out to Jordan for being sober enough to drive our drunk asses back.
Yes.
It was great. Waldron was great. It was, we were joined by three guys who are in the south lot. That's their normal spot. And they made the comment that the Waldron deck is a bit more classy than the south lot. And I don't know if I showed you, one of our friends, shout out Kevin, sent me a video. I don't know if I was with you then or if I got it later. It was him shirtless doing a keg stand in the south lot. So definitely a different vibe down there. But Waldron was perfect. It was slapping. It was popping. The chicken, the beefs, the smoked meats were all delicious, thanks to you and Bona Beef and Brown's Chicken. Thank you for sponsoring Bill and by default sponsoring Zero Doinks.
That is true. Our my new friend, Kevin, your older new friend, Kevin, was he the same gentleman that was catching grapes on the highway from somebody?
Bingo.
That was incredible. There was a couple of ladies of the night, potentially. I can't back that up.
I don't
that
know.
That were on the highway. We saw them first in the parking garage, I think, on the way out of Waldron, and they were throwing grapes in your buddy's mouth from afar. And we saw them again on 55 headed home, and that was incredible. I don't know if he caught any in his mouth.
No, it was definitely a Mitch Trubisky-like day of throwing grapes. It very inaccurate. I had forgotten that part of the day, but that was, yes, one and the same Mr. Kevin. So if you're listening, Kevin, shout out to you for just being awesome.
Yeah, you were hilarious, Kevin. It was a pleasure meeting you. You were full of life, full of spice. I like the cut of your jib. Big fan, immediate friends, as far as I'm concerned. Don't know if you feel the same. We had a ton of beers. We had a very special discovery once we entered your palatial seat area, very private. We were looking for something that we've been talking about for a long time, Dan. What happened?
Well, we've mentioned it many times before that 2 years ago, there was a barrel, just a random barrel that was hanging out near the seats that I generally frequent. But Bill, we were going up the stairs and said, all right, we got to find the barrel before we go in. I go to the normal spot. We find a barrel and then turn around. Were there five or six barrels? It was Barrel City. It was Barrel Town. It was Barrelville. I loved every second of it. And I feel like they were listening to us and they're like, oh, these guys, they need their barrels. Let's get more barrels in here. Somebody get Jim Beam on the phone to give us those hot, hot barrels in the United Club right now. And you know what? I was borderline emotional about it.
Yeah, we physically embraced the barrels. We gave them a huge hug. We took pictures by them. It was fantastic. I suppose, you know, like many families, it starts with one barrel, it goes to two, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of kids. What else are you going to do during COVID, right?
Barrels love to fuck. I have a picture of you at eye level with a barrel, which was my favorite. You, no questions asked. I think I got out my phone and you walked over to it, just crouched down like it was a prom picture. So, Bill, how many beers for you to, you know, with a barrel?
Oof. Well, yeah, I mean, we had a couple by the barrel, but yeah, how many in general? How many yesterday?
How many for you to give it to a barrel?
Oh, to do that? Oh,
yeah.
I misunderstood your query. Still a little groggy from yesterday. I'll be honest, Dan, zero. They're that attractive. I don't need any liquid refreshment to get down.
I'd probably need three. Probably three strong, tall beers. Speaking of beers, the concession seemed fine yesterday.
Yeah.
No major hiccups. The Poke Bowl, you saw it firsthand. That's unnecessary. That's so unnecessary. And they seem to have a better rhythm of, like, if you're just getting a beer, you just jump the line. They didn't have that for the first game, so I was happy to see that this go around. So, good job overall, concession people. We didn't have food in the stadium, right? No, we did not. I don't know why I'm blanking right now. We did not eat in the stadium.
We did not. Yeah, we don't know if we needed a cash situation or anything like that. I remember asking the person that took our tickets into the United Club. I asked her if if the single burgers were actually triple burgers. And she said, I have no idea, but that sounds delicious. Or something,
yeah,
right?
She was like, I have no idea what you're asking me right now. But yes, I guess it sounds amazing. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. It was great. No, we did not eat concessions. I agree. They were slapping. They were flying. It was no big deal. Credit cards were being accepted immediately. The bathroom lines, not bad at all.
Not bad.
It was great. I think it was a well run. Obviously, this is not preseason anymore. The concessions are in mid season form. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Soldier Field. You might not be around much longer. We'll get to that much later in the show. But I'm glad you're at least for now. Things are great.
Getting it together. Agreed. Yeah, it was good all around. It was a little hot. It got a little hot there at the end of the game. That's maybe my biggest complaint. I can only blame Ted Phillips for that. Why not just toss a little roof on top of Soldier Field temporarily, a tarp, an umbrella, maybe your giant gamer headset. Maybe that will cover up a few sections here and there. But it was a little warm. It got a little toasty. You went with jeans, which was a bold move for the day.
Yeah, I was very in between clothes. I thought about it the night before. Kind of choked the morning of yesterday morn, and I know what to do. I'm like, if it's rainy, do I want my shins and my calves all wet all day? Would I rather have them covered in denim? But it got real hot, real musty. Wow, when I took off those trousers, there was a big puff of smoke that I'm sure went throughout the home. And yeah, I didn't know what to do with clothes. I really didn't. I don't remember if I was short sleeve or long sleeve either. Oh, yeah, I had like a mini jacket on. Yeah.
You were dressed for winter. Are you, can I this has nothing to do with the Bears or Soldier Field. Are you, like, pack your clothes for the summer or winter kind of guy? Like, do you have a transition of clothes that's put them away in storage type of thing? Like, oh, summer's over. Got to put the jorts away. Are you one of those guys?
No, I'm definitely not.
Same.
The drawers look the same all year round as does the closet. No, I pretty much wear what you saw on Sunday. It's either Bears clothes or Illini clothes and jeans and the occasional pair of shorts. That's about it. So no, I'm glad to hear you're the same as well.
Well, I'm always mesmerized when Jordan has like a, she'll have like a weekend where she has to have the transition of seasonal clothes, which I guess I don't even own enough to have. To necessitate like trunks of clothes. We don't have trunks around here, but there is like, she's just like, oh, I got to get my winter stuff out. I'm like, what? Like, I'm just wearing the same shit. And if I'm not wearing my hoodies, they just sit on a shelf all year long, all summer long. So, all right. Totally got sidetracked there. I was just curious if you're a fancy boy with your seasonal clothes.
No, not at all. I got sweaters that are laying out during the middle of summer. No, I'm not that type of guy. Are we forgetting anything from our time? Were you surprised that Rick showed up at all? Because that guy is a wild card.
Total wild card. Was stunned to hear that he was meeting with family there. Didn't even know he had family, so that was shocking. But, yeah, no, Rick being there was a real pleasant surprise. He was pretty calm overall. I think it was because he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of Ice Cream.
I think that's true. Ice Cream was a great sport putting up with our dirty sailor mouths. The only time it rained was when Rick arrived, actually. So that's, I don't know what that means, but that, I don't know. It's biblical, you might say.
Well, Rick almost blew right past us, almost ran chest to chest into me when he was first arrived, and just kind of like, oh, Rick. He's like, I made it. He looked very flustered and confused. I'm not sure I heard Ice Cream talk yesterday. Did you?
He did, but only because I kept asking him questions until he responded. That's just an insecurity of mine. That's nothing to do with Ice Cream.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Ice Cream's just a cool dude, so I wasn't lucky enough to hear him grace my presence with words. And I respect it. I gotta earn that. And I haven't yet.
No, you haven't yet. Coach Cuse went with the Devin Hester jersey. Fantastic choice. His son had a beautiful Justin Fields jersey, courtesy of DHgate. That looked very high quality for DHgate.com. Thanks for sponsoring.
It definitely did. Do we want to tell people where Coach Cuse got his tickets from, or is that
private? That's fine.
I feel like you should share this. This is your connection, so I'll let you share.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, indirectly, it's my connection. Yeah, we got a call on Saturday night from a very special friend who may be on Gray Balls, who has a lot of connects. And he said, "Dude, I got extra tickets. Gus Johnson might need to deliver them, or a security guard, or something. Do you have anybody who wants to go?" And I immediately thought of Coach Cuse, who had earlier in the week said, "I'm not going to pay any money to see this horrible team." Basically, I think was, I don't know what his exact words were, mm-hmm. but yeah. And then I think it sounds like he was looking later in the week at ticket prices, and he did not want to sit through potential rain. But Saturday night, we made the offer again to Coach Cuse. He almost immediately accepted. I'm like, I'm in. It's
almost
great.
The
problem is he had to, I don't know if he went to like a hotel lobby. I don't know if he went to like the north side of Soldier Field. It's still unclear what exactly he went through, but we got him.
We should have hashed it out with him. The only person in the stadium who had physical actual paper tickets, which the Bears do not give out anymore. So I had a lot of follow-up questions, but I was already buzzing pretty good to ask any questions that made sense at that point. So we'll figure it out at some point.
Yeah. Thanks, Gus Johnson. Thanks for the hookup.
Thanks, Gus. Yeah.
Appreciate it, buddy. Really appreciate it. Do we want to talk about the actual game, Dan?
Yes. I mean, we're only 14 minutes into the segment. We probably should actually talk about the actual football, because I think that's why people show up to this. Download. I don't know.
Stream. I don't know. Yeah.
Follow us at Zero Doinks. Slip it to our DMs. What wild. Okay, sorry.
You're good. Where do you want to start? Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to make a decision for us right here.
Yes.
You and I immediately, even in our buzzed state, noticed that things were way different. We saw a fullback out there, which begged the question that we had, why don't we just get an actual fullback instead of a tight end playing fullback?
Bingo.
Either way, it was beautiful to see, right? A little I formation, JF1 taking snaps from the center. I mean, revolutionary football, if you ask me.
Yes. A lot of three tight end sets as well. If you're having trouble blocking, maybe throw a few blockers out there. That's a good move. It looked different. I mean, we didn't know, I guess, sitting in the stadium if Bill Lazor was calling plays, but it definitely felt like something was different. And I'm sure we'll get eventually to Nagy today. And, of course, he had to try to take credit for all of what happened yesterday. But it looked better. JF1 looked crisp. He throws a nice deep ball. He wasn't perfect by any means, but I mean, we're on the right track, I guess, with Bill fucking Lazor. The Lazor show, at least he's trying something different. That's really all you can say. It's definitely Nagy's offense, but Lazor's mixing it up a bit more. He's not jamming the Andy Dalton shit down your throat nonstop. He's saying this. Let's get more protection. Let's get a fucking fake fullback in there, and let's see what happens. I dig it. It was the Lions, but at least we're trending in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a one-game winning streak all day, baby. Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing what can happen when you emphasize the run, and, oh, wait, maybe your play action will work out of that.
Bingo.
And maybe that'll buy you some time, and wait, Darnell Mooney is all of a sudden on the roster when that happens, and you can actually utilize his speed. And yeah, it was fantastic. There was definitely the stadium felt very excited about JF1 in general. I thought we were ready. We were all ready to jump on his back and let him ride him to victory. I don't know. Math. My math is bad. That's English. Look, I'm still hungover. But it was awesome. Like, the second Fields got out there for the first snap, the crowd was absolutely buzzing. A couple times they had to put that stupid thing on the scoreboard saying, "Shh, quiet, offense working," sort of thing, which I always love. But
dumb. Yeah.
I loved it. It was great. JF1 in the flesh looked amazing.
We had a really good shot of his deep pass to Mooney in the first half. Just a perfect, beautiful pass. He hit him in stride. I mean, how many times have we seen Mitch underthrow that or sail the guy? I mean, he's just
I'm throwing
so much
a flag on you.
Okay, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, he's the. Should we have a code name for him? I mean, our other quarterbacks in the past, in the recent past, just sailing guys or just throwing it at their feet, throwing it way outside. You know, it's refreshing to see, but you hit it right on the head. He only had time to throw that because we were running the ball efficiently and we were selling the run. Play action, that's what works. And if you're not doing these fucking stick routes or these, you know, 0 yard out routes, there's nobody's buying shit, so it doesn't open up anything in the down the middle deep. So good job, Bill Lazor. I guess I still feels weird that I like happy that Bill Lazor's calling plays.
Yeah,
it just doesn't feel right, but it's the best we can do right now, and that shouldn't change for the rest of the year. I think the minute we have another bump in the road, Nagy's gonna be like, it's mine again. I'm gonna take this play calling over, and he's gonna shit the bed. But this is good. How worried are we about Monty?
I would be if it was anybody but him. Like, he seems to have miracle legs, yeah. Basically, that, like, the fact that it's not an ACL makes me think he's probably playing on Sunday. Like, just because he just, I don't remember, like, everybody thought his groin fell out of his body. Was it before last year?
I think
he was
so.
Like immediately back. So I'm not that worried. I mean, maybe he misses a game, but I'm not worried. I'm really not.
I always think of when he like fell on the top of his head. Was that the Giants game last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was last year.
It was like, oh, I think his head just exploded. He's like, nope, he's good to go. Yeah, so you're right. He is kind of a miracle man. And Damian Williams, I mean, he's a good backup, but he's a little dinged up as well, isn't he? So that's a huge part of our offense. We can't – Monty runs so fucking hard. Everything he does, he's falling forward. He just works his ass off. So if he's out for a period of time, that could be a problem. But
yeah.
I don't think he's playing this week. We thought they were going to have to cart him off the field. Right? I mean, he laid on that field for a long time. So it was hard to in the stands to see exactly the extent of it. I still haven't seen a replay of the actual injury. Have you?
No, I have not. But, yeah. I did not watch the game back. I don't know about you.
I watched some of it. I tried to watch it at work today, and I got busted, and I had to tone it down a little bit. So I also did not watch it back. I don't know if that makes me a bad podcast guy.
I don't think but, so.
But the... But yeah, getting the play action going, Mooney was awesome, 125 yards. Allen Robinson, still fairly irrelevant. Sounds like his agent is still talking some shit on Twitter. I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean,
Shut up, agent.
Yeah, and I think at this point, I think Allen Robinson's great, but if he went somewhere else, I'm not sure I'd be crushed at this point. I kind of forget he's out there.
Yeah. What does he have, like 103 yards receiving through four games or something? That's probably way under, but maybe not by much. Yeah, I'm kind of over it. And it's like, if he's on the team, you know, if we throw another franchise tag on him next year, all right, that's fine, I guess. It may not be worth it. He's probably not worth it at that point, you know, but... Okay, I'm just kind of resigned to the fact that he's not here much longer.
Yeah, that's definitely the way it feels. But if it doesn't work with Justin Fields, I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe he's just a historically an awesome receiver for terrible quarterbacks. That maybe that's just his thing. He's great at making bad quarterbacks look a little bit better. But if he gets a talented guy, they're like, you don't really fit here. I don't know. That might be a stretch, but... But the tight ends, do we have any? Like, they're just there to block.
I think so.
They stink. They all stink. We can't get them involved. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. Jimmy Graham, he just might as well just flying a helicopter around the stadium during the game because very irrelevant that guy is. Don't know. Don't know what to do with the tight ends. And the Bears obviously don't know either.
No. And Kmet had a big opportunity there when JF1 had that awesome spin move to get out of trouble. And
yep.
Kmet just seemed Kmet. To kind of trip all over himself, basically. It's like, God damn it, man. You're not a rookie anymore. We need more out of him, don't we?
Oh, you mean the guy who's just watching film every Friday night with Matt Nagy and couldn't figure out. I'm telling you, man, that Athletic article was a red flag. That was the Shaheen does karate, like put out good vibes because this could get ugly, red flag. And you know what? It's being proven right so far. I really can't tell if it's a scheme thing that we can't get him involved or if he's just mediocre. So I guess it's not time to hit the panic button on him yet. But so far, and not impressed. Not impressed at all. So offense looked pretty good. Still the Lions. But that's kind of what we needed this weekend. Are we just going to win every home game this year? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of feels that way. That'll get us in the playoffs, I think.
It might. I guess. You might want to steal one or two on the road, though. Defense. How did they make you feel? Robert Quinn made another, you know, he had another great game. He's having a hell of a year. He's the weirdest thing ever.
Having a good year. Akeem Hicks, thanks for coming out. One play.
Whoops.
One play and diddled his groin. I don't know what the official injury is, but that was fun. Eddie Goldman made an appearance. Good for him. I'm sure he'll need like 4 weeks off following that game to lift some weights. Yeah, you're right. Robert Quinn was solid. Ogletree, I saw, had 12 tackles. I know he had that awesome hip toss, which the clips of that is pretty awesome. That was very – who did Mac do that to? Mac did that to somebody.
I think
was
that a right tackle on the Lions. Yeah,
okay.
Pretty sure.
So maybe that's just a thing we do with the Lions. But overall, I thought the defense looked okay, got some pressure. The Lions might not be great. They might not be great. Jared Goff did very Jared Goff things. The fumbled snap or whatever that bullshit was. Well, we got fucked on our parlay, by the way. I don't know if we want to talk about that later, but
yeah,
or if anybody cares. Maybe nobody cares. But they took a sack away from us that caused us to not hit our parlay. We'll just say that for now. Overall, defense was B-. I don't know. We don't give grades on here, do we?
No, definitely not. If it's your first time listening, I think you may have just observed not the most serious recaps.
It's just me rambling about the defense, just saying random names and just giving a grade, just a random grade. Incomplete. How about that? That grade is incomplete.
We'll do that. Before we talk more big picture, Zero Doinks Cornish Hen Player of the Week, the Golden Cock. This is a tough call this week. I saw votes, before WhatsApp was taken down for most of the day because Mark Zuckerberg apparently unplugged the world or whatever the fuck happened there. But I saw votes for Monty. I saw votes for Mooney. I saw JF1 get a vote or two. I saw Robert Quinn get a vote or two. So as voted by the fans and eggs from Zero Doinks, who would your vote go to for the Golden Cock?
I'm gonna go with Monty. I feel like without Monty, he opened up the offense for us. So, and he may have lost, given his leg, for the greater good. So I'd like to go with Monty if you'll accept it.
I will accept it. I will absolutely accept it. I love Monty. He makes me very excited. He's unbelievable. Like he's so slithery and slippery. In the red zone, I always feel like he's going to find a way to get in the end zone. It's just fantastic. I love him.
He's always falling forward, man. He's always, yes. If you give him a little bit of space, he's at least going to get you another yard or two. So thanks, Monty. And here's the Cornish Hen presenting you with the award.
Oh, Monty, I don't think this is the first time we've met in this forest. Oh, Thanksgiving is but a month away. Congratulations, don't shoost me. I'm a Cornish and I'm classy. Don't shoost me.
That one had a bit of a southern accent to it right from the start. That was great. Yeah, thank you, Cornish hen. Mm-hmm. Cornish hens, are they like in the southeast? Where do they spread their seed?
Yeah. No, I think they bump nasties. I think south of the Mason-Dixon line for sure. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't know if they wear tuxedos and like ball gowns while they're doing it and like find little crevices. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the buckled shoes definitely stay on during the sex. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know much about Cornish hens, where they reside, how they fuck even. I don't know that. It's got to be gross. What kind of sound does the what kind of dirty talk does a Cornish hen make?
I don't even want to. I thought about it.
I wanted to see how far you'd go with it.
Yep. I absolutely thought about it, and I showed incredible restraint. I'm not even proud of that. I don't know. You know what? Because they can talk. It's proven on Zero Doinks that Cornish hens can talk. I think they keep it classy. I think there's a lot of romance. Like, there's not a lot of one night stands, from what I understand, in the Cornish hen community.
Oh, I'm gonna give it to you, m'lady. That type of thing. Hello, yes. M'lady. A tip of the hat to you, and my cock's out, m'lady. Have a good eve. Thank you for letting me give it to you. Don't to shoost my cock.
Yeah, and I feel like the Cornish hens don't even, like, we've talked about this before on a prior Zero Dex episode, like, they don't even comment on how bad their genitalia smells from their from wearing the giant heavy clothes, like in Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
you mentioned that before. Where it's like, God, how bad do these people smell? Like back in the day,
it was very similar to you popping the denim off on Sunday. It's just a puff of smoke. Oh, that is ripe, Alexander Hamilton. Oh, Jesus Christ! Just maybe toss some baby powder down there for me just once. Yeah, you're right. Don't even comment. Just pretend it's not happening. Just close up that nose and close your eyes and let the magic happen.
And immediately find a sink right after it happens and just wash up. Wash up.
Wash your holes. Mm-hmm. Don't breathe in. Mm-hmm. Anywho, any more thoughts on Bears Lions?
So Matt Nagy, as he referenced before, taking a lot of credit, maybe the weirdest post-game conference he's had yet, and that says a lot because he's had quite a few. Do you think he's in a full-blown panic at this point? Kind of like, it's so weird. And I'll be honest, I just saw it in print. I didn't actually hear it. He's not a big research guy. But it looked like he was very rambly, just like I am right now. And was like, yeah, the laser called a great game. However, I think it's important to note that I felt great as the head coach out there today. Like, what? It's understood that you're the head coach.
Yeah. We would all respect him more if he just said, yep, Bill took over. Bill did a great job. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of our team. The end. Just stop there, man. Stop with the rambling. I mean, you just said it. You and I are pros at rambling, but we don't have people playing these clips nonstop on ESPN Radio or The Score. He just seems fucking clueless and super arrogant that he wants the credit in any way that he can get it. Now, I think you're right. He's in a panic that people are, in his mind, he's like, people are going to start believing that I provide no value to this team. And I honestly, like, I think he needs to be fired and he's a piece of shit and he's the worst. but I think he can provide value of just being the head coach and the manager. He can manage all aspects of the team, and he's good at that rah-rah bullshit and club dub and all that, motivating guys. And I think it was really damning when Fields said that that Lazor is the calm presence or the calm voice in his ear, and it's different than when Nagy's calling play because he's on the field. He's got more to worry about. I think he specifically mentioned is like he's got to worry about the defense. So your rookie quarterback is basically saying, like, this is a better way to go just because it's easier to manage if one person is calling the plays. So there's no reason that Matt Nagy should ever go back to calling plays. No reason that Andy Dalton is even in the conversation of being a starter when he's in. Do you believe that? Like, do you believe that Matt Nagy's telling the truth when he says that Dalton's the starter when he comes back? There's a part of me that feels like he believes he's being a sneaky little guy and he's just trying to throw everyone off the scent. But it's just stupid.
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful that that's the case, but at some point Andy Dalton will be healthy. Like, it wasn't that big of an injury, so it's like, I don't know, unless you do what you did with Foles last season when he had that what looked like a giant hip injury and then it turned out not to be so bad. But then he was put on ice and nobody really asked any questions about it.
Right.
But the big difference is this time, he's anytime Nagy can bring up Dalton, he does. And
it's weird.
It's so weird. Although I kept seeing on The Athletic today that, like, it seems like Nagy wants to make a decision by Wednesday this week to see, you know, but okay. Why are we even having this conversation? I think is the point, right? It's like, okay, Fields had an awesome game. Let's try to build on that. And Lazor called a good enough game, a significantly better game than the Nagy has pretty much his entire career. Why change? Unless you're gonna have Dalton start every road game and Fields start every home game. That's kind of what that thought crossed my mind today. How stupid! I mean, I'm not serious, but it's like
stupid.
He's weird enough to do that.
Yeah, and this was our best offensive performance today, or yes, I say today, yesterday. Why change? Why go back to Dalton? And you have to change. Go back to that terrible offense that just proved it didn't work. So I don't, and Nagy also tried to stick it to the media and say, don't ask me anymore. Like, I'm not answering questions about who's calling plays again. You don't decide that, Matt. You haven't earned that right to tell the media what they can't ask. And just by you saying that is going to make, who's the guy who gives him a shit? Jason Leisner. Is that his name?
I think he pronounced it Leisure from Sun-Times.
He's the one who kind of goes at Nagy and Pace to their face, which I respect. Yes. I think it was Mark Potash. Wasn't he the one who was kind of going at him today? It's like,
he's
no,
awesome.
Matt,
yes.
You don't decide who's going to add, who's, if you're not going to say who's calling plays, they're just going to keep asking. And they have to do that on behalf of Bears fans. So, he's just fucking lost. He's just fucking lost. And I think he just goes home. He goes to his stupid basement with the play cards all over the walls. And he just shuts the door and goes, what the fuck is happening? What is happening right now? What do I do? I just don't think he looks worn down. He looks like a man who is just absolutely confused. And he can't stop. He just needs to kind of stop talking. He rambles like we do. But we're also not getting paid millions and running a $1 billion franchise. So grow up, Matt. Be a man. Quit your job.
Do you think Pace fired him as offensive coordinator going into last week? We were asking him to do that. Do you think that's what it finally had to happen? I don't want to give Ryan Pace credit.
No,
don't get me wrong.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Someone had to be in his ear to be like, look, you got to do something. This was historically bad. Maybe Pace lightly suggested it, that it would be a good idea to make a change. He's going to want to go back to calling plays. Like, if Dalton's back, he's like, Dalton's my guy. I'm going to call plays. And just stupid. It's just dumb. I'm still worried that Nagy's going to get JF1 killed. Still worried about it.
I feel much better if it looks the way that it did on Sunday, just in terms of scheme. I feel much better. He only took a couple hits, really. But yes, your general fear is well founded, because at some point Matt Nagy's not going to be able to help himself, and
right.
he'll put him in a horrible position. It's so frustrating. Like, why is a head coach an impediment as opposed to a guy that's trying to help save his own job? Like, I feel like he thinks he's trying to save his own job this right. way, and it's the exact opposite.
He's making it worse. He doesn't want to be a head coach. He wants to be an offensive coordinator. I think that's really all it comes down to, is he's so worried that people are going to know that he's a fraud as a play caller, so he can't provide anything else. And I truly believe that he could be a good head coach and a leader of other coaches. I think it's possible. I think it could be in him. He hasn't proven that, but he's not an offensive mind, obviously. And I think the best way that he could save his job is to take a giant step back, admit that he stinks, and acknowledge that he's letting go of the offense, and letting, you know, not that he's completely stepped out of it, like he's going to then start calling defensive plays, but he's at least letting someone that he hired, run the show. That would only make him look better.
That's the thing, yeah. There's nothing wrong with being a good delegator. JF1 called it out, basically said he's got too much shit going on. I'd much rather have a guy in the press box who can calmly see what's going on from up there, give me direction. And, man, we've been waiting for at least a year to hear somebody spell it out that way, to be honest.
Right, right. But, yeah, you can't have your rookie quarterback basically call you out like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's more problems than we know. There's more problems in that locker room or communication between coach and player that we don't quite know. So,
for sure.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Before you walk us through Vegas, Bears number 2 in the division. Packers kick the Steelers' ass. I think the Steelers might stink, and the Vikings followed up our loss to the Browns with their own loss to the Browns, except at home, and they only scored one touchdown. I'm not even sure who scored it. Kirk Cousins, I'm guessing, was terrible, but that's a guess.
No clue. Yep, I'm sure he was. I think they were up. I think the Vikings scored early. I remember seeing that score.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. And then they were down 14-7. Felt like fairly quickly. I think that was the final. I could be wrong, but good job. Good job, Browns. Thanks for taking care of them.
We appreciate that. So we're not the kings of the North, but we're close. We're only one game out.
We're right there.
That's right. All right. As we mentioned, Bears visiting Las Vegas for the first time ever. That's exciting. Dan, have you done a little research on our next opponent, buddy?
I have. This would be a great game to go to. I checked the ticket prices today just because I was curious. They seem to have gone down quite a bit. I don't know if the hype for the Bears has... since the beginning of the year is lightened a little bit, but our buddy Marcel will be there, right? That's awesome. That would color me jealous, Marcel. That's fucking awesome. Okay, Bears, Raiders. Raiders lead the all-time series 8-7. 8 wins for the Raiders, 7 for the Bears. Last game against the Oakland Raiders was in London, October 6, 2019, terrible game. Bears lose 24-21. I actually didn't even remember it was that close. Very frustrating game. I remember that mostly as the end of Kyle Long. I felt like he was horrendous then, and he was never the same. Akeem Hicks broke his arm that game. That was gross. And our defense took a huge, huge step back when Hicks got hurt. We got totally exposed when our run defense... Yeah, right. Josh Jacobs had 123 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Chase Daniel was our quarterback, so that was fun. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Monty had a rushing touchdown. We had 42 yards rushing that whole game. I feel like that's around the time when he said, "I'm not an idiot. I know we need to run the ball, Nagy." Does that sound about right?
That does. So, yeah, it was probably like 11 attempts, and he had Chase Daniel just trying to whip the ball throughout the yard.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. That was basically the Khalil Mack versus the Raiders game, and Mack did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the Raiders kind of, they laid it on us. That score, I don't think, was indicative to like how much they just beat us up. They beat the shit out of us physically.
Yeah, that was terrible. You're right. It was, I think it led into a bye week, and then it was the Saints game at home the next week where it, all of a sudden it's like, I think we suck. And I think Mitch is done also,
yes,
right?
True. So that was terrible. That was
flag.
The last time we... Flag. Sorry. Nope. Wait, am I apologizing? Okay. So the last time that we played the Los Angeles Raiders, I went back to when they were the LA Raiders because it's a little different. They're in Las Vegas. I, by the way, will keep calling them Oakland for probably another 3 years, at least 3 years. How long for you?
Yeah, I haven't in a while.
You haven't called them Oakland, or you're going to L.A.? Yeah,
I just go straight to Raiders because I probably would call them the L.A. Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
You're an idiot. Okay, that's fair. All right, so the last time we played the L.A. Raiders, November 7th, 1993 in Chicago, Bears lose 16-14. Kevin Butler missed a 30-yard field goal at the end to win the game. He had also missed a 21-yard field goal earlier, so good game for him. Bears offense was ranked last in the league at this point of the 93 season. So that sounds familiar, huh? We had 47 yards in the first half, 8 passing yards. We were led by Jim Harbaugh, 140 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Neil Anderson had 75 yards rushing. Tom Waddle led the Bears with 69 yards receiving. Maybe that's a part of your problem. You shouldn't have Tom Waddle as your number one receiver on your NFL franchise. Good radio guy, not the best receiver. I don't know. Tom Waddle seems okay. I like him.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't be your go-to guy on your offense. All right. The only Bears receiving TD was a guy named Terry Obie. That was his only full season in the NFL. Do you know this guy? You're shaking your head. Yes.
Very vaguely. Yeah.
Why?
Like I remember the name. Yeah.
It was his only season. I was kind of curious who he was. I looked him up, and somehow it was like, when you put in Terry Obie, the first thing comes up is net worth. What's Terry Obie's? And the first one you click on, it says he's worth $15 million. And I was like, wait, what? So I dug a little deeper and then found another net worth thing that said it's below $1 million. So I think Terry Obie might be out there just inflating his net worth out on the internet. So Terry, please stop doing that. You're confusing me. Just stop doing it, buddy. Jeff Hostetler led the Raiders in passing with 108 yards. Just sounds like a bad game overall. So that's all I got for that. Any thoughts on that, Bill?
We've basically been the same team for every year. We've been different names, same stats.
Nothing's changed. I guess we can only just, the only thing that stayed the same is the McCaskey family. So we're just going to go ahead and blame them. All right, Virginia, sell the team. All right, let's go to the staff for the Raiders head coach, John Gruden. Raiders head coach since 2018. His head coach record of all time is 117-110. Well, they just lost tonight, so 117-111. So he's only 6 games over 500 as a head coach. He's very overrated. I love telling anyone who will listen that he is not as good of a coach as he believes, as the media believes. He's overrated. He won one Super Bowl. Grow up, John Gruden.
No, it's true. And is he making $10 million a year? Do I have that number
million.
Right? I mean,
he was like $100 million
alone,
for 10 years.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Insane. And also, you never know what head coaches make. You know that he was dying to tell people what he was making, leaking that information. I can't stand John Gruden. I couldn't stand him on Monday Night Football. He just was like kissing everyone's ass just in case that he got a head coaching job. I can't stand him. I don't care. Come at me. Cargo shorts, John Gruden and cargo shorts, I don't give a shit. They all suck. We saw a lot of cargo shorts this on Sunday, didn't we?
We saw a lot. Yeah, we talked about it. We wondered for a moment if we were in the minority, and we laughed at that, and then we're like, wait, with Bears fans, we might be in the minority. Possibly? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Don't do it. Ask a lady And if she tells you she loves him, she's lying. All right. The offensive coordinator for the Raiders is Greg Olsen, not our Greg Olsen. He was a Bears QB coach in 2003. He's been the OC for five different NFL teams. Seems like he doesn't hang around for a job for more than 3 years, so I can only assume that he sucks. Any thoughts on that, Bill?
No, I wish it was our Greg Olsen. That's what I wish.
Okay. Wide receiver coach is Edgar Bennett. He's the Packers running back for a number of years. He's in the Packers Hall of Fame. Seems a little aggressive. He was the Bears running back for a couple of years. He was the Packers OC from 2015 to 2017. Do you remember that? That was Mike McCarthy time, but he's probably wasn't calling plays, was he?
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I remember just because every time I see his stupid face, I get angry because when we signed him from the Packers, he immediately sucked.
He sucked, so, yeah.
No offense, Average Cheese Podcast, but we hate Edgar Bennett. You should rip his name out of your stupid Hall of Fame.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Make that happen, boys. All right, offensive line coach is Tom Cable. He was the Raiders head coach from 2008 to 2010. Big-time scumbag, punched an assistant coach, Randy Hansen, in 2009. Also accused in 2009 of physically abusing two ex-wives, and an ex-girlfriend came forward and said that he was abusive towards them. Also, Wikipedia mentions he's married, has five children, and lost over 138 pounds while coaching in Seattle. That was all one line.
Obviously, he updated that about his weight, for sure, but he couldn't scrub the abuse stuff off, apparently.
Well, and my question is lost over 138 pounds. That's a very exact number. Who says I've lost over 138 pounds? When you say I've lost over 130, 135, why 138? Was it exactly 138, Tom? Do you want to just tell us you lost exactly 138 pounds? Then just do it.
Just tell us.
You fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
You fat abuser.
Yeah. Keep your fat fucking knuckles in your pockets next time you're around
Jesus.
A woman.
Yeah.
You fucking asshole.
Yeah. Big time scumbag.
Fuck you, Tom Cable.
See me after class. All right. Defensive coordinator is Gus Bradley. It's his first year with the Raiders. He was defensive coordinator with the Chargers for the last 3 years. Prior to that, he was the Jags head coach 2013 to 2016. He was Seattle's defensive coordinator during that Legion of Boom era. So he was a hot name for a while, wasn't he, before he went
Fred
to
hot.
The Jags?
Mm-hmm.
He fell off pretty quick. So, all right, that's it.
Okay.
You know any Gus's? Personally,
no, I don't. I was gonna ask you your thoughts on that name in general. It sounds like whenever I hear the name Gus, I think of like somebody who's like fluffy, like plump, kind of like Tom Cable used to be before that 138 fell off his body.
Yeah,
just Gus, like, but kind of warm. Like I'd want to hug a Gus. Actually, I do know one Gus. I do know one Gus, and not
oh,
Johnson.
You do.
I do.
Okay.
I know one Gus. Right. He's lovable.
Gus, to me, is so close to gas that I assume that it is a fat guy farting. So, is it short for Augustus? Is that right?
Probably. Gustav?
Gustav? I don't know, man. I like it, the name Gus. Like, I feel like if you met a Gus, you're like, oh, I want to grab a beer with that guy. And he's probably gonna fart a lot, but yeah, Gus Bradley.
If you're upwind, it's fine, but you could see the people at the table next to you just gagging their asses
just
off,
dying.
Right?
Yeah. Oh man. All right.
Gustav
Bradley, defensive coordinator. Defensive line coach is Rod Marinelli, our old friend. It's his second year with the Raiders, his 24th year in the NFL. He was a Bears defensive coordinator. Was he our coordinator?
Yeah.
Or was he just a D-line coach? Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm.
2009 to 2012. I would say he's best known as being the Lions head coach when they went 0-16. His daughter, Chris, is married to Packers defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. How about that?
That's stupid.
Keep it in your pants, Chris and Joe.
Seriously. Jesus. And fucking take a shower every once in a while.
No kidding. Don't be fucking in front of Rod. Am I right? You know any rods?
I don't think so. Just a shooter, right? Good old Beck.
Yeah. Roderick? Rod? What's that short for?
I think Gustav.
Rodham? Gustav. Hillary Rod Clinton. All right. Strength and conditioning coach. The assistant coach is Deuce Gruden. Just a meathead. That's all I got note-wise for Deuce. You ever met a Deuce? You ever met a Deuce that wasn't in the toilet?
No, I was going to say, definitely after a night of hams.
Yeah, oh, God. My gas was horrible today. All right, let's move on. All right, the front office is the owner is Mark Davis. His bio on the team website is just a bunch of links to articles, so that's weird. Why are you making me jump through a bunch of hoops, Mark, to find out who you are? His net worth is a bit higher than Terry Obie's. It's $500 million, so he's got to be one of the few like non-billionaires in the NFL. But I want to read a few. Just bear with me here. There's a little bit of a clip here from Wikipedia. But here we go. This is from Wikipedia under, I think it was just like the first part. Okay. Prior to owning the team, Davis was involved in the retail part of the Raiders business, where he helped develop the organization's Raider image stores. He also spent time in the Raiders equipment department, where in 1986 he developed a muff-style hand warmer for football. Is that the, this is not Wikipedia, is that where you put your hands in at like the front pouch? Is he claiming that he invented that?
Yeah.
I think he is.
I think kangaroos invented those.
I think so, too. All right, back to Wikipedia here. In 1980, Davis represented Raiders player Cliff Branch in contract negotiations with the team. Why is he doing that? That's not Wikipedia, which resulted in a deal that included an annuity active until Branch's death in 2019 and got Mark kicked out of his father's house for being too close to the players. He later lived with Branch when the team moved to Los Angeles. That's how insane is that?
That's insane. I don't even know what to say. Yeah, what a weirdo.
Why is he living with his father? They're millionaires. Why is he representing a Raiders player in contract negotiations with the fucking team he works for? Why is he working in the equipment department and representing players? Why is he claiming to invent the muff-style hand warmer for football? Mark Davis, what is going on with you, man? And that haircut, I mean, what are we doing there? What are we doing with that hair? And I think he drives like a conversion van as well, like a Chrysler van. He's just an all-around weirdo.
Yeah, that hair is something I'd expect out of a puppeteer.
Yeah.
Just not
great.
It's
call.
Not good. It's not good. I can't stop looking at it, though. Just like Jason Peters, I can't stop looking at him. I cannot stop looking at that.
Kids.
That,
I get
is it. That, do you think it's a rug? Do you think it's real?
Oh. You can't buy a rug like that. Like they won't. They just don't make them. Like, you don't get a rug and be like, I need the bowl haircut. So I think it's real. Okay. Like, he's definitely coloring it. It's actually like bright orange, and he tones it down a little bit.
Maybe it's so peculiar looking in so many ways. Do you think it's made out of some of those muffs that he invented?
Yeah.
Do you think it's muff hair?
It's muff style hair for sure. He's like, ooh, touch my muff hair. Gross. He's gross. The smell when he drops his trousers, just it's very peculiar.
Yeah. Like that locker room he used to work in. Do you think anybody asked him to be like in the equipment room, or like he just showed up and it's like, hey,
I don't know.
I know I've got weird hair, but I've got this great idea for a thing to keep everybody's hands warm. You know, my penis smells really bad, so I just want to put that out there too in case you smell anything.
Who wants to take a whiff? Yeah, he's definitely. I don't know where to go with any of that. Well, Mark Davis, what a weirdo. I'm happy he's in my life, though. So thanks,
Same.
Mark. All right. The GM is Mike Mayock. He was a TV analyst for years. Prior to that, he had an 18-year career in commercial real estate. That's weird. He was hired as GM in 2019. I think the most notable thing, I think he had like a serious beef with Antonio Brown, right? I think they were, they had some choice words with each other, but Raiders, they're doing okay. They just lost tonight. That's their first loss. I think in general they're doing fine. I don't know. That's
very
a tough
average,
division.
Right?
That's a really tough division. So very average. Just convincing yourself that Derek Carr is the answer. He's the AFC Kirk Cousins.
He is just slightly less annoying, but only slightly.
No, he's equally as you remember the Hard Knocks. He was
fucking
cheeseball. Yeah, no. Trying way too hard. All right. There's one Illini player. It's a rookie cornerback on the Raiders. You know who it is.
Nate Hobbs. He's awesome.
You're good. He's awesome. You're good. You're good. That's it.
Thank you.
No Gophers on the team. That's all I have for the Raiders. Any more thoughts on the Raiders before we cover the other NFC North games this week?
Can't wait to beat them. That's all I've got on them. Mark Davis smells.
Mark Davis smells. He's a big skid mark guy too, right? Like white pants, just a little brown in the backside, no questions asked. If you asked him, he'd be honest. He'd be like, I over-trusted a fart. He would tell you that. And so he'd be honest about it, which I respect, but definitely a sharp pants guy.
Yeah. No, he sharts every day. And you're right, he does. He wears like a jumper all the time, a white jumper.
White jumper.
Do you think the people that he has in his little home up there in the Raiders Stadium, like he always has these celebrities, right, in his booth and his box, do you think they're like, is this even worth sitting next to this guy? These are great seats. But he reeks, and I'm pretty sure he just shit himself. And he keeps he keeps talking about living with this branch guy, even though he's been dead for 3 years. They can't enjoy his company, right?
Well, I think you already answered that. You said you like looking at his hair. Could you imagine seeing it in person? That muff style hair. I think you go all in on that for sure.
Okay.
You absolutely don't turn down an invite from Mark Davis when he wants to pick you up in his 93 conversion van was gifted to him by Cliff Branch. I don't know. There's another thing about the Raiders, a general thought. Their website has the banner to the website, a lot of Al Davis talk. Like, he died in 2011, I believe. Like, can we stop that? Am I being a dick?
No. Stop it. It's
maybe just cool it.
It's come time to do that. I mean, Cliff Branch has been dead longer than that, and I doubt he's on the website, right?
He's not. Doesn't sound like that relationship ended very well for anyone, including Marky Boy. So
did you know Cliff's his cousin, also coincidentally named Cliff, but Cliff Twig. I don't know if you knew him.
That's terrible. Such a dad joke there.
Good guy.
All right. Let's end our Raiders talk on that. Other NFC North games, we could rip through these quickly. Green Bay, noon kickoff on Sunday. They're at Cincinnati. Green Bay is -3.5 for that game. That doesn't feel like enough points. Bengals only lost against the Bears.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we are very underrated.
Especially at home. You can't beat the Bears and Soldiers. Okay, another game. We got a NFC North divisional game. The Lions are at Minnesota, -7.5. Nobody should watch this game. I'm not going to watch it.
No. Go Lions, though.
Go Lions, indeed. Do you want to see the Lions lose 17 games this year? I think let's just see it happen. That would be awesome. If Dan Campbell fumbled his way through an 0-17 season the first year of their 17 games, it would be fucking phenomenal. That would be awesome.
That would be pretty great. Why are the Vikings at home again? Like, are they on the road the rest of the year after? Like, what's going on here?
It's like them and the Rams are just going to have to just live in a suitcase the rest of the year. Yeah, good call. It does feel like the Vikings have been at home quite a bit. Not a big stats guy. Nothing to prove that. They've probably just played at home twice like the Bears, but it just feels like they've been at home a lot.
Indeed. Indeed.
But yeah, I think that's all we got, Bill. I think we covered it all, my friend.
We absolutely did. This has been a fantastic preview of Bears Raiders, as well as a review from our tailgate and all of the fun that we had seeing the Bears get their second win of the year. Thank you, Dan, for all of your research.
You're welcome. Sniff me, Mark Davis.
It's Bears season. It's Justin Fields season. Have you ever wanted to follow us? Do it at Zero Doinks. Instagram at Zero Doinks. Twitter at Zero Doinks. Slip into our DMs wet, wet, wild. If the hams are a-slapping, don't come a-slapping. If the hams are a-slapping, don't come a-slapping. Follow us on the World Wide Web, www.zerodoinks.com. Buy our swag at Zerdogs.
Rick, you're going to get our podcast shut down. You've been so bad. Please turn it around. We'll take more ties, Rick. Just take lines that don't have the hook on them, just on the chance that you get more ties. Rick, please help us out here, buddy.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero Doinks!
Yes. Yes.
Zero Doinks!
Yes. Come on. Go!
Zero Doinks!
Push the ball. Push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go!
Shut out!
Yes. Go! Kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
Spreads, pick three, printing money's pick of the week.
Welcome to Hams and Bread. I think there's a bunch of segments happening in here inside of this segment, so why don't we just get to one of them right now. Ricky boy, take it away.
Hi, this is Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads, hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams, 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 and hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads.
Our buddy Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman. Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Ricky Fieldsman.
Rick Fieldsman, my dad.
Hams and spreads. Featuring me, Rick Fieldsman. All right, doinkers. We are back. For the uninitiated, this is Rick Fieldsman, hams and spread segment within hams and bread segment within zero doinks. Oh my gosh, it feels good to be back, baby. Rick went 2-1. What did I say last week? We had to bring it back to the originals. Corner kicks, all corner kicks, 2-1. There was never a doubt in my mind, but we got a problem this week. We have no EPL games this weekend, so Rick's feeling a little bit confident coming off that 2-1 win. Feeling a little confident coming off the Bears win. Oh, you know Rick was there in the stadium. My gas smelled like methane after the game. Oh my gosh, the hams were slapping. Thank you, hams, for sponsoring. Oh, let's get into it. Everyone's got a case of the funds. Everyone's looking to just break down this board. That's what I'm going to do. Let's get into it. Hams and spreads, pick one. Oh, I spent much time going through all of the DraftKings offerings, and here's where we're going. All NFL games. That's right. We're back on it. It was rigged, but guess what? Bears are winning. Justin Fields is keeping the team warm before Dalton's ready to come back, and I think this is the time where we step in with the funds into the game. We're going first game Sunday at noon. We have the Packers versus the Bengals. We're going all NFC North, by the way. NFC North, best division in football. Packers are 3.5-point favorites versus the Bengals. The Bengals are terrible. Packers are also terrible, but they're going to win by 4 points. It's minus 105. There's something wrong. There's something in the water there at DraftKings because all of these odds are a little bit off. We are absolutely right in the Packers, -3.5 versus the Bengals Sunday at noon. You get your funds, you put it on that, and you split them with pick two also at noon. A little bit of a spoiler alert for all those. Let's go. Hams and spreads, pick two. We have the Detroit Lions versus the Vikings. Now, the Vikings are an absolute garbage team. The Lions might be the second best team in football. They looked really good, had a little bit of problem securing the ball. A couple things turn around. The Bears might be in a little bit of trouble there. Lions are 7.5-point dogs. This is absolutely crazy. The Vikings are the worst team in the NFC. Lions are second best team. We're going with the Lions. +7.5. I gotta tell you, I'm really confident in these picks. I'm looking at these like, have I broken the code? I'm in the Matrix right now looking at these things. I know what's gonna happen. These two lines are so easy to beat. Let's go for the, oh, maybe a little bit of a sponsorship. Let's go for the last pick. Hams and spreads, pick three. Printing Money's pick of the week. Printing Money's Pick of the Week is brought to you by Matt Nagy. If you thought Matt Nagy was bad, just ask my good friends, the Gin Blossoms.
If you could go back to the arena tonight, you see all these hams are slapping, and anyway you have got to go. And I don't think it's ever been this bad. You are the worst we ever had. Can't believe you really got our hopes up years ago. But Matt, I should have known. Tomorrow's gonna drive you out of town. Never see a stupid face around. You'll be gone, but someone will be found. Take your place. Hey, Matt Nagy. Hey, Matt Nagy. Hey, Matt Nagy. Hey, Matt Nagy.
Thanks, Gin Blossoms. Matt Nagy, go take your visor and your wide stance elsewhere. Oh, right, we are back. Gin Blossoms, oh my gosh, what a catalog of songs they have. I love all of them. We are back for pick three, Printing Money's Pick of the Week. Sponsorship money's coming in. Oh, by the way, Dots Pretzels, let's give a shout out to them. Whoever those things all my life. Anywho, let's get into it. Rick Fieldsman, pick three, not shutting down the podcast last week, not shutting it down this week. Pick three, we're going Bears at Raiders, Sunday, 3:05 p.m. I forgot about this game being played in Las Vegas. I really wanted to go. Been a rough couple weeks, though. Don't have the funds. I'll walk there if I have to. Okay, Bears are 6-point dogs. No hook here. We are going for the Bears +6 versus the Raiders. The Raiders, you know what? The game's going on right now versus the L.A. Rams. I don't think the Raiders have even shown up yet. It is a garbage town. Garbage town city, and the Bears are going to be the mayor. Bears +6. Dalton might be back. Foles might be back. Justin can keep playing wide receiver. Mooney is catching everything. Oh, my gosh. The Bears are a beautiful thing. They are an absolute joy to watch. And there we have it. I am glad to be back. I am glad to have visited Soldier Field. I'd be lying if a tear didn't come to my eye during the national anthem. And that's what I'm bringing to you, the loyal listeners. I'm going to send it back to the boys. And as always, I have a good one at the windows.
And this has been the world's greatest and first segment within a segment, Hams and Spreads with Rick Fieldsman.
Rick Fieldsman's the smartest person in the whole wide world. Rick Fieldsman can make you a lot of money.
Oh, that's pretty cocky after going 2-1, Dan. I don't know what you have to say about that.
I mean, Rick is back, but I agree, that was very cocky. I smell an 0-3 week for sure. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. Maybe protect some of your funds.
Right. Protect them with both hands. Just, I'm glad he didn't get us canceled like you were yeah. concerned about. So thanks, Rick, for allowing this to continue. Appreciate that, buddy. Dan, I assume there's a line in Bears Raiders. Let's hear all about it, bud.
You got it. All right. Bears are 2-2 against the spread this year. Raiders 2-1 before this game happened tonight. I'm not going to go back and figure out if they covered. Actually, they didn't cover. They're also 2-2. Bears over is 1-3. Raiders, I think the over hit, so I think the over is 3-1 for the Raiders. Who cares? So what? Thank you, and you're welcome. Bears, 3:05 kickoff this weekend in Las Vegas, home of casinos and hookers. Bears are +6, getting 6 points on the road. Over-under is 46. Bill, which way would you lean there?
Well, I think both teams are going to light it up a little bit. I think the Raiders defense will be exhausted from having one less game day. What? To prepare and recover. So they're exhausted. That means we're scoring at least 30. I am going over, and I am going Bears money line. Dan, how about yourself, bud?
Not sure. Bears 7. If Bears got to 7, I think I'd like that a little more. I think that's why they haven't. Tease, tease, tease. Poof. I also like the over. That surprised me. I loved it. I love the over. I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think you're right. I think they gave up a shitload tonight to Justin Herbert, my Sherbert. Yep. Love it. Lick it. Stick it. Over. I wouldn't take the Bears unless it gets to 7. You think the Bears will win?
Yeah, we'll steal one on the road. Absolutely. Okay. I think it's going to 25% Bears fans there in whatever we're calling that giant stadium that looks beautiful from the highway. It looks amazing. Yeah, I think we win. I think we win. We okay. owe one to fucking Gruden, baby.
Yeah, okay. All right, I like that. All right, Bill, before you get to it, any other games that you like this week?
Absolutely not. I no idea. None.
Okay. Thanks for looking. All right. I got two for you. I like the Eagles +4 at the Panthers. I'm not buying the Panthers hype. Take the Eagles. Take the points. Jalen Hurts is going to go in. Sprinkle a little on the money line. Bill, what do you like?
I like the Panthers. I do believe in them. I think Matt Rhule will be coach of the year. I've been eyeing those odds. I'm just waiting for the right time to strike. Panthers cover and win. I think they're favored, so that makes sense. They're my pick.
Okay, thanks so much. All right, one other game. The Miami Dolphins, who I think might all the way stink, at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa coming off kind of a rough game. They did win. Tampa is giving 10, -10, at home against the Dolphins. The battle for Florida, that's what everyone says. Interstate rivalry like no other. Take the Buccaneers. They're going to lay some pipe this Sunday. Tampa Bay, -10.
Too many points. Tom Brady's going to be exhausted. He had to play at night on Sunday, so that is an absolute issue for them. Dolphins won't win, but they will cover. Dolphins, take them.
Okay. All right. That's all I got for you for this week, Bill. What's up next?
Let's kick it to the segment within a segment within a segment, baby. Toffee's Corner.
For the first time in podcast history, we welcome you to a segment within a segment within a segment. This is Toffee's Corner, exclusively on Zero Doinks.
Everton fan,
for my whole life.
It's Toffee's Corner.
Football.
It's soccer time.
Add it, you know, your history. It's enough to make your heart go. Oh, we don't care what the Red Sox say. What the heck do we care? Cause we only know that there's gonna be a show when the Everton boys are there.
Toffee's Corner, exclusively on Zero Doinks.
Castle's Trash.
Our boys in blue, buddy. Welcome to our new segment within a segment within a segment, Toffee's Corner. Thank you, Brother Dave, for the idea, for the name. Don't sue us when this goes viral. Everton had a hot game on Saturday while I was sleeping. You think you had some funds on it, didn't you, bud?
I had a little bit of funds. I actually bet on the draw, which actually, that hit. I feel like that was a good feeling. However, our boys in blue legitimately could have won that game. They scored a late goal. It got called back after review on VAR. I think that's what they call it. Video assistance review. What's that stand for?
No,
I don't know.
Idea.
I don't like it. I don't like the hand motions when the refs, they do like a rectangle type of thing. I don't know if they're signaling that it's good, it's confirmed, wave it off. So it's very confusing to me. But I'm a dumb American. But yes, our boys in blue got a tie. I'm calling it a tie, a draw at Old Trafford Stadium against Manchester United. That was a shocker to everybody. We almost got away with a win, but we got a point on the road at Man U. Gotta love it. Townsend, our boy with a gambling problem, with a goal, 65th minute. Everton currently sits fifth on the table, Bill, with 14 points. Any thoughts on the game by you or Brother Dave?
Well, I mean, Townsend keeps delivering. It was a well-earned point that it could have been three. A solid result,
yes.
Especially playing without Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin.
True. So true.
You know, and unrelated, but meanwhile, the Newcastle defense continues to not impress.
Okay. Thank you for that. Insight. Coming up, Bill, for Everton, they play Sunday morning, not on Saturday. They're Sunday morning. A little just lead you right into the Bears. They play at home against West Ham. Thank you, Hams, for sponsoring. West Ham is ninth on, in, or around the table with 11 points. They're coming off a loss to Brentford, 2-1 loss. The line for this game, Everton is plus 155 to win. West Ham is plus 170. A draw is plus 235. So Everton, slight favorites, not heavy favorites. The draw kind of looks sexy, but Everton's going to win 3-0.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2-1. I think it'll be a little closer than you think, but it's one of those where you wake up, you peruse your Sunday Chicago Tribune that still gets delivered and looking for that score, and you think, wow, super close now. It'll be 2-0 and then a late backdoor cover if you got Ham at plus 1.5. I don't know what that voice was. Yeah,
I don't either. It was, Mark Davis would have loved it. That's all I got for Everton. They're red hot. They're going all the way. I did meet a neighbor. I told you this off air. I did meet a neighbor who is an actual lifelong Everton fan. Tried not to embarrass myself because obviously I'm a lifelong fan, but sometimes I sound like an idiot when I talk about the EPL and Everton, but I held my own. I think he still talked to me after that, so I think we're okay, but good to know there's an actual Everton fan close. I can go knock on his door and say, tell me all about the boys in blue from a guy who is a lifelong fan like myself.
Yeah, no, he's pretending to know what he's talking about. He's doing that to impress you, Dan, so keep that in mind. But no, happy to have him on board behind us on the bandwagon that we have been on all of our lives. And no, can't wait to finish top four in the table, on the table, and around the table, and advance to the tournament. Can't wait for that.
We all know the tournament. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Definitely.
On the same page. Yep.
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for your gambling research here. Can't wait to get another W or draw. Can't wait.
Can't wait. Love it. Go Everton.
This concludes Hams and Bread, America's favorite sports wagering segment, which includes a segment within a segment, Hams and Spreads, and the segment within a segment within a segment, Doffy's Corner. Thank you for listening exclusively on Zero Doinks.
I would love the Toffees forever.
Ooh, love your kit, Dan.
Corner kicks.
Our boys in blue.
Top of the table.
Toffee, Toffee, Toffee.
Do you have a bear that you fantasize about every Sunday? So do we. It's Bear's Fantasy Corner.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Okay. Bears Fantasy Corner. We're here. We're here to stay. These are where you get your hot, hot picks for all of your fantasy needs. Football fantasies, sexual fantasies, whatever works for you. Bill, we had a hot week last week. You had Jimmy Graham. I had Jesse James, two tight ends. They collectively had 0 points, so we tied this week. So I believe you're up 2-1-1. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds right. I'm just going to give you my pick right now. We talked about him earlier. He's a bit crabby. His agent's a bit crabby. This is a big week for him. I think the Bears are going to be down. We're going to be whipping the ball all around Las Vegas, in and out of the Bellagio fountains. My pick is A-Rob, Allen Robinson. The second, number two, junior, Allen Robinson is my click to pick. Bill, who are you going with this week?
I think that's a wise move. One of my favorite parts about our picks last week, our tight ends, Jimmy Graham and Jesse James, not only did they get 0 points, neither were targeted.
Not once.
Zero targets. That's so great. Yeah. I love it. So I'm going to go with a guy in an important positional group that we alluded to earlier, where things might be a bit dingy and stingy. I am going to go with rookie Khalil Herbert. I think he will absolutely get a lot of action, and he's going to find pay dirt, baby, and that's what I need. That's what I need to beat you. Khalil Herbert is my Bears Fantasy Corner pick.
All right, I like that. So you have Khalil, don't call me Justin Herbert. I have Allen Robinson. All right. Frank, help us out with that, please, and thank you. You're the best, and we love you. All right, let's go to the John Lithgow Hollywood star, players of the week. John Lithgow does a voice in Shrek 1, which we watched this weekend with the family. Pretty
was
good.
That distracting?
Pretty good. Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. Chuckled to myself when I heard him talk for the first time, thinking about Bears Fantasy Corner. And I'm glad there were no questions by my family about why I'm laughing, because I don't know how I explain that.
It's true.
So anyway, good job, John Lithgow. He won 4 Oscars, I think, for Shrek 1. So congratulations. Top performers this week, Patrick Mahomes led all players with 46 fantasy points. Tariq Hill had 39.35 points. Matt Ryan, 39.02 fantasy points. One other thing to note, I noticed in our league for the week, Taylor Heinicke finished 5th for the week. He's available in our league. So there's a little tip for you motherfuckers in our league who listen to this. Go grab Taylor Heinicke. Don't touch my Heinicke without permission.
Yeah, the Washington foosball team, they may be terrible in real life, but they do put up fantasy stats, no doubt about it, Dan.
No doubt about it. All right, Taysom Hill, Trash Performers of the Week, brought to you by GLAD. GLAD, thank you for sponsoring this segment, Within a Segment, and Zero Doinks. These are the terrible performers of the week. There were a lot of negative players. We had 0 last week. We had a lot this week. Worst performer this week, Davis Mills, quarterback for the Texans. He had a -4. Whoops. Next up, Trenton Cannon. He's a running back for the 49ers. I feel like they're going to have at least 15 running backs this year. I feel like they all drop in like flies. He had negative two for him. And then we had a tie for third worst, Jakeem Grant, wide receiver for the Dolphins, and J.J. Taylor, running back for the Patriots, at negative 1.75 fantasy points. Any thoughts on any of those, Bill?
None. I remember Cannon was a hot fantasy pick going into the year, thinking that he would be amazing. Wait, no. I'm getting him mixed up with somebody else. Never mind.
Trey Sermon.
Yeah,
Trey
that's
Sermon,
the guy
I feel
of.
Like was a hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he also died. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's just get it out of the way. Taysom Hill had 16 fantasy points. He had two rushing touchdowns, one interception. Who cares? He still sucks.
Mm-hmm. He sucks. He sucks. It's probably like $1 billion per fantasy point this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. That's it for Fantasy Corner this week. I think our picks are red hot. I think they're both going to have actual points this week, so that will be good for this segment to not get ourselves canceled, much like Rick Fieldsman, just shit in the bed. So we shouldn't skip past the part where we give terrible fantasy advice, but that all turns around this week here on Bears Fantasy Corner. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Dan, for your research. Go Bears. Go Khalil Herbert.
Bye.
Weirdest Big Ten minute, and I love it so much.
Big Ten minute.
A bunch of fat, pale Midwesterners just roaming around Pasadena.
You love the Illini, and I have a life.
I bleed orange and blue.
Gophers -3 is my pick. I respect your love for the Illini.
Shove it, shove it, shove it. Row, 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 shove, shove, shove. I'm, like, pretty much the only Gopher fan that people know.
Ooh, both the Illini and the Gophers are back to their winning ways. We'll start with the Illini. They hosted Charlotte. I guess they have a football team. Illinois won, obviously, by 10 points. Come on now. They snapped a four-game skid, which included three losses by a combined 14 points. Illini are frisky this year. They host Wisconsin this upcoming weekend. These are the bottom two Big Ten offenses, so hump that under whatever it is. Running back Chase Brown was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week with 250 Ooh. Yards and two scores. He's pretty good. He's a transfer from Western Michigan. Row the boat.
Row the boat.
Yeah, that's about it. How about you, Dan? How'd the Gophers do, bud? I said they won. Who they beat?
They won. They beat the Purdue Boilermakers in front of creepy Purdue Pete. That's a game I feel like the Gophers always lose. I went back. I think I mentioned that last week. I mentioned it off air. Turns out they've actually done really well with PJ Fleck against Purdue. But that 11 o'clock time slot in West Lafayette always feels dead, feels boring. You shouldn't go. You shouldn't watch. But Gophers win by 7. They win 20-13. They gave up 448 yards on defense, but they hang in there, only giving up 13 points. Trey Potts held in check. 78 yards on the ground. I think this is the first non-100-yard game that he's had since Mo Ibrahim's gotten hurt, but he did get in for a touchdown. Tanner Morgan, still kind of mediocre, 169 yards passing. They've been playing the backup quarterback a decent amount, redshirt sophomore Cole Kramer. He's more in there to run sort of a, I don't want to say wildcat, but he's a bit more gadgety, I'd say, but keep an eye on him for getting in there, getting a bit sexy with the ball, especially if Tanner Morgan's going to be just boring. Gophers are 3-2 on the season. No game this week. Gophers are off. Yeah, you already mentioned the – did you give the line already for the Badgers? Did I miss that?
No, I knew that they were the bottom two offenses in the Big Ten year-to-date. But no, did not mention the line.
Do you know the line?
I thought I saw something where it's under 10 points that the Badgers are favored.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. Yeah, they're Wisconsin is -8.5. The over-under is 43. I saw on the Action Network, which is really the only place I can find a line quickly for Illinois. Thank you, J.B. Pritzker. It said that the line opened at 17.5. I like went and looked, and it's how is that possible? Did you see anything about that?
No, mm-mm. I feel like that's
this definitely isn't a yeah. This isn't a Dan dumb Dan move, because I looked and it gives you the history of the line. It went from like 17.5, 17.5, then it bounced down to 8.5, and then back up. I thought, what happened? Why would anyone have Wisconsin giving 17.5? That this game, I like the under.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got to hammer that under.
You hammer it. Brett Bielema, first game against his former squad there.
True.
So that's an interesting storyline if you're into that sort of thing, guys. I think it's a 2:30 game. I think it's the midday bone dog, or whatever we used to call it.
The mid boner, mid prime time. Yeah, I think Illinois is winning that game. I'd sprinkle the money line if I could. Ooh. If I was in Indiana or mm-hmm. Michigan mm-hmm. or Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Or New Jersey? I don't know.
I think so. Maybe.
Yeah. Illinois.
Take
Gophers aren't going to... Yeah. Illinois probably won't lose. Gophers definitely won't lose this weekend. So, Bill, other games this weekend in the Big Ten. Saturday, 3 p.m. Huge game. Huge Big Ten game. Penn State at Iowa. Iowa is -2. Who do you like in that game?
I like Iowa. I've gone the other way, I think, all year. So I think it's time to finally ride the Hawkeyes. And couldn't happen to a greater team or against a greater university that has never covered up child molestation.
Penn State. That's what I was going to ask. Is that more of a pro-Iowa pick or an anti-Penn mm-hmm. State pick? It sounds like maybe a bit of both. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like Iowa at home. I think Iowa's pretty awesome. Iowa fans in general don't seem as excited as I would have guessed. They seem very skeptical of this run, and I think it's been impressive.
Yeah, I think they're way better than Iowa fans are giving them credit for. It's just probably historical. You know, they're in self-preservation mode, right? They know what's probably coming, but maybe it won't. Maybe they'll run the table. Who knows?
Yeah, good point. And mm-hmm. Another game that I really wasn't even going to mention, but the line was weird. Michigan at Nebraska, Saturday night, 6:30 kick. Nebraska's only +3 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska sucks. Just stop it, guys. I mean, Michigan's undefeated. All right? They haven't lost yet.
Correct.
I also feel like Michigan's only played home games. Don't quote me on that. I'm not taking Nebraska ever. I don't care where it's at. That line is not right.
Yeah, that surprised me. So they must put a ton of weight into the beatdown that Nebraska just gave Northwestern.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Whoa, Northwestern? They stink.
Wow.
Congrats, Nebraska. Blah.
Sorry, Frank. That's got to be super depressing to root for a football team that has no chance every week. That just sucks.
Is Pat Fitzgerald on the hot seat? Has that talk started yet?
I think so. I'm sure. I've heard rumors. They're Chicago's Big Ten team, haven't you heard?
What about, speaking of bad coaches, Mel Tucker, mm-hmm. Michigan State? They're ranked 11th, I believe.
11th, yes. There's five Big Ten teams in the top 11. I know. It's unbelievable.
How is that possible? That guy is a terrible coach. Just a horrible coach. Something's wrong there. I don't know what to make of that.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's mm-mm. fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I got on Big Ten thoughts, Bill.
Same here, buddy. Hoops team. Practicing for all the Big Ten as well. It's October. That's when that happens. So we'll be getting into some of that hot talk as we get closer to the Illini winning their first ever national championship in basketball. Thank you, Dan. This has been Red Hot.
Thank you. Row, row, row. Shove, shove, shove.
Here we go. Hams, 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 and Ted. 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 Baseball talk. Here we go. Hams and Ted.
All right, here we go. Hams and Ted is back. Big week for your boys coming up. The Sox are in the playoffs. First time in the history of White Sox baseball. Back-to-back playoff appearances. Bill, I'm going to shut my fucking mouth and you tell us about the Sox.
Yes, special playoff edition of Hams and Ted. I'm very excited. The White Sox are the number 3 seed. They are playing the number 2 seed Houston Astros, the cheaters known as Houston, led by Dusty Baker. We, as you know, are led by Tony La Russa. Those are 2 70-plus-year-old managers that ought to get young kids into baseball right away when they see old men in baseball uniforms just farting all over the dugout at Minute Maid Field. That'll be fantastic. Things kick off Thursday, 3 p.m., Game 1, and then 1 p.m. on Friday. Thank you, Major League Baseball, for really hitting prime time again. Great time for kids to get into a sport that you're struggling to get kids interested in. So great job, MLB, for that. Makes me want to think that I'm going to have to take Friday afternoon off to watch Game 2. That seems like a no-brainer. Very excited, though. Sunday night, Game 3 in Chicago, the first game that we will be hosting here in Chicago for the White Sox, 7 p.m. Sunday night. Perfect. So you got Raiders-Bears at 3:30. Roll that right into White Sox-Astros Game 3. That sounds amazing. I'm going to be a horrible father and husband on Sunday. So getting all my chores done before 3 o'clock on Sundays because I can be there in front of the telly. That'll be great. Chalk, if you're into gambling, they have the Astros as the AL favorite to make the World Series. Also, the Dodgers, who are in a wild card game on Wednesday against the Cardinals, they are the chalk to make the World Series from the NL. I find that unbelievable.
Weird.
Because a one-game fluke could easily knock them out. I know they've won 103 games or 106 games or whatever. Amazing that they're a wild card. That's just hilarious. So I think it's going to be a red-hot playoff. I think there's a ton of great teams, including the White Sox. I think they're under the radar. There's a couple. I think Ken Rosenthal had them winning it all, which I don't like. I don't want to see anybody pick the White Sox to win it all. But I can't wait. I'm pumped. I know it's football season, but I am getting wet for White Sox playoff baseball. Buddy, thank you for giving me the floor.
You forgot Everton plays on Sunday as well. You got a full slate of games that'll wet your whistle. Good luck to you, buddy. Yeah, you got fucked on the times for Game 1 and Game 2. That sucks.
It's because of Red Sox Yankees. That's why. Which makes sense. I'm sure they get all the eyeballs. They're going to throw them at night. I get it. I'm not an idiot. I understand, but just a little bit of an annoyance. It's just annoying that baseball has day games in the playoffs in general. They do it every year. I just find it hilarious. It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. I'm not upset about it for gambling reasons to have a little action in the middle of the day, but I like where the White Sox are at.
That's good, buddy.
I'm happy. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'm glad they're going against Dusty Baker. I think that's the best news that you can wrap your mind around.
That definitely helps. I feel like that helps your cause. Yeah. You're not going to any of the games here in Chicago yet. I heard there's a rumor you might be in the next series when they make it.
Yes, I did. I got home game 3 tickets for the ALCS, so that'll either be game 5 or game 6 of the ALCS when the White Sox make it. I think it'll be the Rays. I think the Rays are advancing, so I think it'll be game 5 at home. White Sox Rays.
What was that?
It's like I'm in between burps, like the tailgate gas has just confused my whole body, I think. I don't know what to do.
I'm still a mess. I mean, I had a softball game tonight. I felt like I was just in a daze. By the way, sorry, total sidetrack. I just see that Minnesota's Trey Potts is in the hospital after he had a medical condition at or during the game. Okay, anyway, sorry. Got sidetracked
there. Big 10 minutes.
Big 10 minutes. All right. Get better, Trey Potts.
Yeah.
White Sox are going to win this series. I'm going to put money on it.
Thank you.
And I hope all goes well for you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Not Tony La Russa, though. Please don't give him any credit.
No, that's fine. Yeah, let's win in spite of him, not because of him. Although if he makes some great managerial decisions with bullpen management, I'll be fine with that. Just don't let him grab his keys after the game, because he's obviously going to be chugging wine.
Yeah, true.
That's great. Mark in North Carolina, shout out to Mark. Toss me some cash to put on White Sox to win it all and advance to the World Series as well. Ooh. I think he and his Faja both are getting their beaks wet. Love it. Perfect. Absolutely love it. Yes. That's all I got. Go White Sox. Go, go, White Sox.
Okay. Good luck. Baseball talk.
Bye.
Gonna wrap this motherfucker up. I think this has been a decent episode. You and I are both a bit in a daze from a hangover day, I guess. You seem to be feeling pretty good. I'll fully admit I was pretty hungover today. We haven't gotten to it yet, but all the talk last week, I think it was very strategic by the Bears to release this as things were heating up on burning the whole fucking thing to the ground. Bears are in agreement to buy Arlington Racetrack, the property around it, all of Arlington Heights. They're going to own the whole town of Arlington Heights. why don't you give me your thoughts first, Bill?
Yeah, I was more so pro versus you when we talked about this a couple months ago when it was rumored that the Bears had put a bid out there. I was still wrapping my mind around it, but I would say at that point I was like 51% yes, they should do it. I'm more like 69% yes, they should do it at this point. You and I talked off air while we were staring at the colonnades yesterday before the game. We were kind of talking about it. And yeah, it makes sense. I don't wish for Virginia to pass, but it'll be better if the McCaskies are not in charge of the Bears when this comes to pass, though. I think everybody would like the idea more if the McCaskies were not making a decision, but yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. I've come to peace with it. What about you, Dan? You were very anti. I believe you said Arlington Heights can eat my ass, if I'm quoting correctly. Yeah.
I came down pretty hard on Arlington Heights, and it really was not as much an Arlington Heights thing as I was upset at the time that all of the talk seemed to be around where the team was playing and not the quality of the football on the field. So I apologize to Arlington Heights. I'm on board. I'm on board now, just only purely because it really doesn't make sense that the Bears play where they play when I see, like, tonight SoFi Stadium and Vegas this weekend. When you see those places and you're like, that's how it should be. It shouldn't be. We fucked up the renovations of a stadium just because it has pretty columns on the outside. You know, the nostalgia thing of being in Chicago is cool, I think, but it's really unnecessary. I'm just worried that the McCaskies will fuck it up somehow. It sounds from what all the talk on radio is last week was that the NFL makes it almost idiot proof that they have a big hand in stadium construction and how all of it works. So I feel some comfort in that. I just don't want Ted Phillips, the McCaskey family, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy's children. I don't need any of them even coming close to this new stadium. So I, you know, it seemed initially it's like, oh, this is just a power, you know, this is a negotiation tactic with the city. No, they're all the way out. This is a done deal. And so it will be interesting to see. It just will be, I don't know. I haven't heard anything of how it will unfold, like timetable. I have no concept of like how long the planning will be, how long, you know, when is the first time we're going to get that mock-up of a new stadium? Because once that comes out, then it's like, oh, totally boned up. I still don't trust, like, I don't know how they're going to make Arlington Heights work with the traffic and everyone just poo-pooing that. Like, yeah, that makes me a nerd, I guess. But that traffic sucks in and out of there. I know they can make it happen. It's just very residential around there. So that's going to be tricky of getting people out of there. to make the roads bigger. I don't know. That I'm just skeptical of those things. But bottom line, there should be a better viewing experience for the fans, because that's just how it is. That's how the NFL is. There's no excuse that this big market of Chicago is plays in such a shitty small stadium. And all of the people, I loved everyone running it back last week of, oh, you got to call them the Arlington Heights Bears. If you listen to this podcast, you know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are named after a fucking body of water. Still doesn't make sense. There's no city of Tampa Bay, so just fucking relax. The Giants and the Jets don't even play in the state that they claim to be from. So all of those people, loved all of them. Just loved all of the meathead takes there. So I will admit I was very anti when it was rumored, when they made an offer. But I've come around. It makes sense for the Bears to move, and Arlington Heights seems to be the best option at this point. Don't trust the McCaskies. Get out of my face. Get out of your own way. Sell the team. I think I covered it all.
You did. You did. Yeah. Really the only downside, not the only downside, but the main downside is now Ted Phillips is in the news a lot since this is kind of his yeah. job, right? So
yeah,
that's it's unfortunate to see his stupid name attached to many a news article.
Do you think that means he won't fire anybody at the end of the year because he's too busy with stadium stuff?
I mean, he's got the excuse, I guess, built in, but no, I think... I would hope he can walk and chew gum at the same time. We know that he can twiddle those thumbs in his office there with that gamer headset he's got.
Yeah, he could definitely. Well, I guess I'll just say it. He can work and cum at the same time in his office. So he seems to be able to multitask, I guess. But, yeah, I don't need him involved at all because he was a big part of the of what we see today. And by literally everyone's account, they screwed it up. So we will see. It'll be interesting. I really just don't want all the talk to be about this fucking stadium. Let's not get distracted. We need better football. That is the key. That's the fucking key. Everyone relax.
Everyone relax. Just like Urban Meyer, take a seat in a bar, and wow, everything okay there in Jacksonville / Ohio?
I don't think things are going well for him. I thought he was like rubbing himself down while that was happening. His hand placement was very curious, and maybe he was trying to sort of put up a barrier, but what... I don't know what was happening, and I think today he gave like a half-assed apology today, like, sorry for being a distraction, not sorry I'm rubbing and tugging out in public where people have cell phones. Like, what an idiot. Is he trying to get, he might be trying to get fired. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that guy, and I don't feel bad because he's a scumbag.
It's just amazing that I didn't put two and two together when that video was out that was in Ohio, still, you know, I guess around Cincinnati, and that he didn't fly home with the team on Thursday night after their Thursday night game. That killed me. I'm just going to hang back. You know, I got family here. Next thing you know, he's getting basically rubbed down by what looked to be like a 22-year-old woman. Oh, boy.
Yeah, she was attractive, so, I mean, good job there, but, oh, buddy, he is not having a good year.
No.
he's not. Do you think he's already called USC to see how we can get in there, or that's in the works, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't going to last. That guy, no. he does not manage stress very well, and he's brought a lot of it upon himself. It's not good. Did he lose this many games at Ohio State in total? I don't know that he did.
I don't think so. I don't think so. When do you think he fakes the heart attack or the heart problems?
Week 9.
Week 9? Oh, I was going to... would have guessed today as he's apologizing for the rub and tug with the lady. What an idiot. What an asshole. I don't feel bad for him.
No.
You suck, Urban Meyer. You're a cock.
Yeah, you're a cock. You're not a breast or a tit like our coach, but you might even be worse. So, worse. Fuck you, Urban Meyer.
Fuck you, Urban Meyer.
Buddy. Well, this has been a fun episode, bud. It's fantastic. Always good to do them after wins. It feels much better. Big game this weekend at Las Vegas. Wish we were there. We're glad Marcel will be representing Zero Doinks and the Eggs, though. That is fantastic.
Yes. Safe travels, Marcel. Go Bears. Thank you, Bill, for staying up late to do this. For those of you listening, we're just about to touch midnight, and it's my fault because of softball, so I apologize, Bill, but I thank you. You're a real gentleman.
You're welcome, buddy. Anything for you. Thank you for bringing me to the Bears game. It's the least I could do tonight. Love you, bud. Go Bears.
Love you, too. Bears, Bears, Bears. Bear down.
You sound amazing, Darren.
Well, I'm fucking half cut, so it's a good Friday to be.
I also have a trout pond still going in my pants, apparently.
Thanks, Matt Nagy.
He dressed up like a clown for them, with his face painted white and red. In my mind, you tried to take